The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Look that up. Just look up the term USA Inc. On that, and greetings to everyone, but on that note, I saw a video someone shared on YouTube. It was like a little mini documentary, and they called it USA Inc. and, you know, spelled out the dates when it was incorporated and everything. So a lot of people, they think that, you know, America is this country or nation, when actually it really isn't. It's a corporation in terms of who's running our lives, and really that's what it all boils down to. These people have power over our lives, and they are not doing anything to protect black specifically or non-white lives generally, and they will even kill white people, as they're doing in this one county in North Carolina. But we've been hearing all of this national talk. I understand the president spoke earlier today. I'll try to pull up his comments, but he made comments while he was overseas. I think he was in Spain, I believe, when he made these comments, but he was somewhere in Europe attending some, you know, conference to continue, you know, to globalize the planet and what have you. But, you know, he spoke from there. I don't know what he said today at the conference, but from what people, even my own mother, has been telling me, he's been engaging in a lot of anti-blackness. I also recognize this as a COINTELPRO tactic that they used back in the day in terms of just Black Lives Matter. They are really just trying to put all of this negative information and disinformation about Black Lives Matter, and even make Black Lives Matter out to be something that it isn't. Again, Black Lives Matter started as a hashtag. How many times we got to say that? But there were plenty of demonstrations against police terrorism and violence in this country before Ferguson, before that hashtag came out of the killing of Mike Brown. All right, and we didn't really have no name for it, but it was always the college students, mostly the kids, you know. Be some elders out there and middle-aged people as well. But the bulk of this is kids, high school students and whatnot, who are turning out in the streets and what have you. Just like it was back in the day. If you look at the old footage of the Civil Rights Movement, man, those were high school students. Those were college students, and some of them were being used as pawns. Martin Luther King Jr. admitted that that's why he had these kids out there demonstrating, as opposed to, you know, sending out more mature people or adults or whatnot, 30 or 40 years old, but he just wanted the world to see those images because television was big in the movement, media. Again, media is the most powerful entity, and he understood that he would gain more worldwide sympathy for the cause against the cause of black people fighting against racism and white supremacy if they saw, look how they doing even the children. And that was strategic. He did that. Now, whether you know, believe that was a right or wrong tactic, the same thing is being going on today. Stop thinking that the hundreds of thousands of people out there in the streets belong to an organization. My daughter don't belong to Black Lives Matter. She don't have no membership in anything. She goes to work. She raised her son. You know, she's a normal single mom, you know, a normal single mom in terms of, but, you know, she has resources and what have you, but and people to fall back on and help her. But she attended. Several of her friends, they are not car-carrying members paying no dues to no organization. They just simply looking to express solidarity with people who see an injustice and see that the government, that the elected officials, that the appointed officials, that nobody is solving this problem. This problem been going on specifically against black people for hundreds of years, and they will use buckets and buckets and buckets of words to try to confuse you about the nature of this threat and act like it ain't the threat, and they'll flip it to victim blaming. Oh, if you didn't have tattoos, if you didn't have the color red on, if you didn't have, you know, just every excuse, just buckets and buckets and buckets of words, and then claim that, you know, people who are bringing up this issue are don't have all the facts, or, you know, don't have all the statistics, when most of their facts and statistics are coming from the FBI database. They're coming from the only citizen-run database that I know of, because we had one of the founders on Black Talk Radio Network, killedbypolice.net. They're even being cited in by corporate media. Right, I was watching CNN, and they was like, you know, according to the latest data, killed by police. And y'all know I used to always check it for a period on this program. So let's go ahead and check killedbypolice.net. And let's see what the casualties up to in 2016. The casualties are up to 620 civilians killed in the United States by police officers. Now, I'm willing to accept that perhaps maybe 10%, maybe 20%. I'll be willing to give you a third of these shootings that we might would look at a video if one existed and say, well, that was justified. You can't expect, you know, to have a weapon and point it at these cops and you know, these guys not want to make it home. You know, I you know, what would you do? You see, we have to be able to put ourselves in each other's shoes. So when that occurs, then, you know, whether I don't know if justified is the right word to use, but it's understandable. It's understandable. They their terminology, they call it a justifiable homicide. You know, but the other 70%, they're, you could do all the talking you want to. You can pour out buckets and buckets of words, and, you know, it's not going to change the statistics. And we people are not making this up. Even The Guardian, one of UK's, the United Kingdom's biggest paper, they maintain an online database, and they even break it down by race and what have you. So deep. And then what the sad part is that there are a lot of casualties that are being hidden, because all police departments are not required, or any law enforcement agency is not required to report how many people filed a complaint against them for busting them in the, you know, busting them in the head or beating them or, you know, or putting them in a coma, and then later they die, like that homeless man in California, you know, who recently died. But let me see, his name should be here. Furman Vincent Venezuela III, homeless man in California. You know, it's a lot of, you know, another man 50 years old. And these aren't kids, mostly kids being gunned down in the street. And see, again, we have to be careful with the propaganda tactics that they using. They want to paint this stereotype in your mind, or who's the victims of this, or you know, the like these people may have done something wrong to deserve this, and what it, you know, and it's not the case. So let's just make it seem like it's a bunch of young black men, like 17, 16, 18, you know, 17, like Laquan McDonald and what have you. But he never pointed a weapon at nobody. And then all of these cops, all these doggone good cops, right, witnessed that cop gun him down like that, saw him go down, continue to shoot. No, you know, people had, the other cops had to tell him to stop. We're talking at least about at least 10 or 11 or 12 cops who then for a year, I don't know if they filed a report telling what this killer did, this deranged killer did. Can't recall his name right now, Van Horn, something like that. Anyway, I don't know if they filed that report and then, you know, the brass buried the report, or I don't know what they did, like that cop in North Charleston when Slager gunned down Walter Scott and he filed a false report. So I don't know, but I know for a year they fought releasing the video. The media, we call them mainstream media, was suing them under the Freedom of Information Act request, which y'all all should know what that means now, concerning all these lawsuits against Hillary Clinton in the State Department. So they fight that for a year, and then it finally come out, you know, and it's a year later. And then only, and this dude been sitting on desk duty collecting a check. See, that's what them good union benefits, man. He collecting a check, playing Tetris or something like that. I don't know what he was doing on at his desk every day. Probably watching episodes of Law and Order or something. I don't know. But only when the video, a judge orders the video released to the news media and it goes viral, then the district attorney decides to file charges. We're supposed to ignore all of this evidence that we are getting this from the mainstream media. These are based on news media reports. And so I'm just seeing there's not a true, honest conversation going on by people who say or believe that some kind of, you know, police lives matter too side, and trying to, you know, get to see it on their side and whatnot. So, you know, what they're doing is trying to use psychology on you, get you to just think about a Mike Brown, you know, big 6'4 kid, 17 years old. Y'all know how they portrayed him. Like, oh, he came like a demon. That's what, you know, they see they play these roles. Oh, they're disrespectful. All of these kids are disrespectful. And then what you're asking them to do is to respect people who have disrespected black people for hundreds of years. Come on now. That's what you're asking. You're asking us to respect FBI Director Robert Comey, who by the letter of the law should have recommended an indictment of Hillary Clinton. And he lays out the perfect case for it and then says, you know, but there was no criminal intent. But then in the next breath says, but that's not to say if anybody else did this that they would face different consequences. So that's an admission right there that the system is corrupt. It can't be trusted. Why should I respect Robert Comey? I watched that with my soon-to-be 70-something-year-old mother. I watched that with her and her, you know, both, because she stay informed. She listen to Black Talk Radio. Of course, I talk to her a lot, whatnot. Her mouth just dropped. She was sure they was going to get Hillary. All this evidence, she was sure. Comey come out at the end. Like, unbelievable. And this is the system you want us to respect. But with all of this back and forth dialogue, I'm not hearing many people bringing up police violence against citizens in the context of terrorism, in the context of a national security threat. These are the FBI's own words, and I will be sharing with you I'm reading it. It was unclassified, but it was a sensitive document that the FBI had. It was, you know, sensitive. That's above confidential. Then you got sensitive. Then you got secret. Then you got top secret. So they unclassified it for the public. The title is White Supremacist Infiltration of Law Enforcement. This was published on October the 17th in 2006, 2 years before Barack Obama became CEO of USA Inc. It even gives you handling instructions. See, that's what I'm saying, man. Let me read this, y'all. I don't mean to go off on a tangent, but on Hillary Clinton, listen, this was a classified document. Handling notice. Recipients are reminded that FBI intelligence assessments contain sensitive terrorism and counterterrorism information meant for use primarily within the law enforcement community. Such assessments are not to be released either in written or oral form to the media and the general public or personnel who do not have a valid need to know without prior approval from an authorized FBI official. All right. So y'all want to elect Hillary Clinton and she, you know, all this stuff come with instructions, man, and she couldn't follow it. But getting back to this, see, this is even evidence that they keep stuff like this from the public. And they're continuing. They issue this report and there's been no follow-up since 2006. When have you ever heard Barack Obama, CEO of USA Inc., the president of America, as he states, has told us several times, how many times has he talked about this report, asked for any follow-up by the FBI, suggested any congressional hearings and what have you? And we could go back to 2008 and we can count how many bodies. On average, I think it would be conservatively about 1,000 a year. So we coming up on 8 years of his term, 8,000 bodies at least, minimally 8,000 bodies killed by police. These are hard statistics that's being kept by trusted sources who are gleaning this from going through the hard work of gleaning all media that's being reported. So, you know, these are facts, people. We do our research on this station. These are all facts. And so we'll be going over the points in this formerly secret document that the FBI was circulating, because it's not very long. But is anybody talking about that in light of a blog post, which I have seen nobody dispute? The person even on their blog identifies themselves as a college professor. But one of the the five Dallas police officers, one of them, I read that he's from North Carolina, because the local Charlotte Observer did a report on him, showed a picture with him and his smiling mother and what have you, elderly white woman. And they dug in, this professor dug into this cop's social media profile, examined his pictures, all the pages that he liked and what have you. And by all indications, he would fit the profile of one of these white supremacists that have infiltrated law enforcement. And let's you know, for the sake of putting out correct information, that's what the FBI said. But my study of history, our ancestors have said that the police are the KKK. They were card-carrying members of the KKK. Look, the KKK, they got day jobs too. You know, they factory workers. They might be, you know, working in fast food. Who knows? These people who join these organizations that are really, really dedicated. All throughout, I mean, when you think about the institution was primarily created to control the movement of black bodies on this continent. Come on, man. How can you not see this continued history playing out? So this guy, social media profile, he liking white nationalist pages and what have you. They took screenshots of his page. We shared it on our Facebook page, Black Talk Radio Network. I also published a picture of him on my personal Facebook page, Scotty Reed. You'll find me. And I linked to the blog post, and nobody has disputed it or come out and said this was a hoax, and you know, they still might try to say that, but then why would this professor put his name out there like that? And again, we do have to vet everything, but the pictures that I saw, unless they were Photoshop, he had some tattoos that I took notice of. And you know, in the blog post, the professor said he had a ring tattoo of a cross, and you know, kind of, and on his one of his arms, he had like a Christian seal, a shield, like the Crusaders and stuff. And you know, they have all this in the white supremacy community. We talking about these kind of race soldiers and what have you, and terrorists. You know, they identify strongly with those sort of things, you know, Christianity and the Christian crusades going out to kill the Muslims and in the name of Jesus and all that. They also like, you know, Norse mythology, the Vikings and all that. I think he had one of those pictures as his background photos, you know, this Norseman mythology, Viking gods and all of that. So I haven't seen any mainstream corporate outlet that is owned by the big six media companies do any follow-up on this. This has gone viral, actually. A lot of people have seen it. I wouldn't say it's gone viral on the point of millions and millions of people have shared it, therefore, you know, been exposed to this information. But I would say thousands. Nobody's come up yet and posted a link saying, you know, Snopes said this is false and whatnot. Possibly by now they may have hidden his Facebook profile. You know, Mark Zuckerberg might have got a request from a police union to clean his profile up and delete some pictures or just close it down. So, you know, you can go and search. So it might be gone by now. And no, the president, not a congressperson, not any city council person, not a county official, nobody is talking about, hey, maybe some of these shootings, not all of them, but maybe some of these shootings, especially where we have white cops gunning down black men and black boys and black women and black girls. They've come close in the past year gunning down babies, shooting up cars with babies in them. Miriam Carey, her daughter was in the car. They shot them hundreds of rounds into it. Mr. Castile and his fiance and her child, she was sitting in the back seat. So, you know, some of this might, you would think, these people would figure out, might have something to do to this 2006 FBI report that called white nationalist infiltration of law enforcement a national security threat. And nobody's protecting us. So what do you, that's why you know, have to really use VGQ. When I hear people criticizing black people's response to white supremacy, whether it is like what Sergeant Johnson did in Dallas, or whether it is just some teenager, some working class poor black person or working class person like my daughters, just tired of seeing all of these executions on social media and whatnot. So we'll open up the phone lines, but I'm definitely going to go through this report. Have you been paying attention to CNN, MSNBC? I've been doing my little monitoring, but I'm not going to sit there for an hour or two Because a lot of times they just be putting a lot of stuff on repeat. I've been seeing the Dallas police chief for like 4 days straight. I'm like, every time I turn on CNN, here's this guy talking, saying the same thing over and over. And I'm one of those that also, hey, don't blame black people for not wanting to be cops. You know, that it ain't on us to solve the problem. We shouldn't have to join the police force for these things not to happen. We shouldn't even have to vote. Just because a person ain't registered to vote or doesn't vote doesn't mean that, therefore, they're the cause. The vast majority of people in this country, regardless of their racial classification, do not participate in the political process. And who can blame them when you have two of the worst ever in modern history in terms of just the optics? Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are unindicted, given a free pass because she's a white woman. And Donald Trump, two of the people with the lowest approval ratings ever, people talking about holding their nose and voting for one or the other. Why would, hey, I can see why a majority of people, they say nothing ever changes. And then we want to accept, an incremental change? What, every 10 years? Every 20 years? Like we have to get the 20-year review of the voting rights protections every 20 years? And then they gutted it. Going backwards, man, even on the little privileges that they have granted us in response to young people out there in the street and shutting stuff down, and other people picking up arms and saying, you're not going to come in our community and just gun down people. And what was the goal? We saw the problem. We ain't looking for government help. What did the government do? Go destroy the Black Panther organization. And then throughout history, the mainstream corporate media, their little school textbooks have done nothing but demonize the Black Panther Party, just like they demonizing the quote-unquote Black Lives Matter movement. It's all it is. It's a movement. It's not an organization, really. Some couple of individuals was probably saying, well, let me go ahead and file a 501c3 and I can get some grant money. I mean, because y'all know the nonprofit industrial complex exists too now. I'm not saying that's what the people who incorporated an organization called Black Lives Matter did. I'm not alleging that at all. But most of these respectable Negroes and what have you that have all these nonprofits and out there doing work, they getting government money, they getting government grants and whatnot. They doing it too. So how you gonna criticize, whatever? I would say Black Talk Media Project, man, we one of the few. And then I have to also understand, I know why some of these people take the money, because guess what? Like last month, although we had hundreds of thousands of people, let me not exaggerate, we had over 100,000 people tune in to Black Talk Radio Network, a total of 28, I believe, if I remember correctly, a total of 28 people made a donation, got a T-shirt. Some gave, a hundred or more, or some gave $2 or what have you, whatever they could give, and so we only raised like $400 and something in the month of June. So I understand why some of these nonprofits and organizations take the money from the banks, the corporations that are harming our people. And then it's a trap. It's a trap. So this has been going on for years. Let's not just try to pin this on BLM, and let's not let them take that hashtag and demonize it like they did the Black Panther Party, like they did the Black Liberation Army, like they did any organization they deemed a threat to so-called national security because black people was marching for freedom. They was fighting for freedom. They was like, hell no, we not going to Vietnam to kill these people. When you treat calling me nigga right here at home, police bust me upside my head, all this and that, and we still going through this. Damn. All these great thinkers and great minds have died since the 60s, and, you know, we still ain't solved the problem. We got the John Lewis's who started out on the right side of the battle line, and then look where he's at now. Telling black people, you know, to after a cop bust you upside the head to say thank you for your service. Come on, man. And then you wonder why these young people don't respect you. A bunch of young people doing the day. That's why they followed the Panthers. They wasn't about that. Turn the other cheek stuff. You're not gonna put your hands on me and not, you know, that's that slave code stuff. That's that, you know, colonial laws where a black person couldn't even defend themselves. No. But again, then the media puts the two different, I mean, it's the same black people, the same black community, just two different groups working towards the same goal through a different path. And then, you know, the white supremacist media get those two groups to view each other as enemies and to be sniping at each other. And that is why that VGQ, what Mr. Fuller came up with, man, that is, don't say nothing. If the white people or anybody asks you something bad about something good black people are doing in response to racism and white supremacy and everything that that entails, like police terrorism, slavery, all of that, just don't talk bad about them. Don't say, oh, they being disrespectful, they don't know how to talk to people and all that. Come on now, these people who have seen their friends and their classmates and their brothers and their sisters gunned down in the street, man. I don't see anybody when these white folks is out there protesting against the federal government, telling them, oh, they need to be respectful and watch their tone, and like the president said today or the other day, in you know what I'm saying, that's being condescending. You're playing games, you're playing word games, and then you wonder why people don't want to talk to you or they don't want to join you, because we know you ain't no honest broker. You try to use this stereotype of the angry black person who's yelling and screaming. You'll grab sound bites and you know, run video clips of a person, a black person you caught in an emotional moment. Damn, we all of us is suffering from traumatic stress disorder. Not no post, because it's ongoing. These are, you know, and then, oh, you worried about their tone? You know, be respectful. Oh, they just gunned down my dang gone fiance in front of me and my baby. And you worried about my tone? See what I'm saying? How they forced that woman, Castile, I'm sorry, I don't recall the names right now, forced her. The system forces her. Even after watching the man that she loves, she about to marry, be murdered in a car in front of her baby with a child, and she still was forced to say if she won't stay alive. Yes, sir. No, sir. Watch her tone. Don't even have a natural human reaction. And I, for one, am not going to accept these illogical positions. I'm willing to listen to all sides of whatnot, but, you know, if it's not logical, and if you don't make me see the logic in it, then I can't accept it. And if it's being promoted to people, then, you know, I had to speak out against it. So, you know, it's, again, this is incorrect behavior in a system that's based on racism and white supremacy, that's practicing slavery. This is incorrect from a black person. So that's why we don't call him the black president. He's the president. He's President Barack Obama, or he's the CEO of USA Inc., CEO Obama, whatever title. But we have to stop using the word black, the qualifier black, before U.S. congressman or U.S. senator or vice president or Supreme Court justice. Let's just stop that, because that's spreading confusion. They're spreading the confusion about, oh, people have arrived and we come so far and what have you. Any logical person knows you can't look at a few showcase people or the gains that individuals have made and then ignore the mountain of oppression that's going on in communities all across this nation. And it's not just happening in black communities, but they are the primary targets of slavery. It's wrong. It's wrong. It spreads confusion. Indeed, this man is getting paid $200,000 a year to solve the problem of police brutality and terrorism against black people, to stop mass incarceration, as they call it, but it's just a continuation of slavery. He's getting $200,000 a year. Millions of people voted for this man because they thought he was a problem solver. People have kept putting John Lewis in there thinking he could solve the problem, since he was out there in the street taking blows to the head from the police. He was on the front lines and you know. So he keeps going to Congress, and so he should have some insight into the problem, and no, he ain't came up with no solutions. None of these people, man, have come up with no solutions, and they have not even actively been working on it. When has the black congressional, let me stop. When has that congressional caucus that's supposed to be caucusing for black people, when have they ever had any hearings about this FBI terrorism report? They may have had one or two, and then that was in 2006, and we got a black president now, and we got to deflect all criticism of him. I'm speaking, you know, as they would speak. And nobody worked on this problem. This hundreds of years this been going on. These people, if you know, they're getting paid all this money because they're supposed to be problem solvers, but yet we want to put it on high school students. Well, what's Black Lives Matter's solutions? Well, damn it, they just in high school. It's only their second year in college, man. They ain't even completed their political science degree. They ain't even completed their, you know, management courses or their business classes. And the ones that's slanging that criticism out there, these people got multiple degrees. They working in these corporations. They have these positions in these schools, at these colleges and universities. They go on speaking tours. They own... I was about to say they own BET, but they don't. But they own BET. They own TV on their own network, Oprah's network. She a billionaire. Man, y'all the ones that's supposed to be the best and the brightest and got the resources. Y'all supposed to solve the problem. These children are the canaries in the coal mine. There's a problem. And black children have been protesting against this forever. And some of you were those black children out there, but now you allow symbolism to make you think we've arrived, or your individual advancement in the system to make you think that that's the, anybody can do it, when anybody can't do it. Think about the majority of these black children that are out there. And we want to bring up the facts and the statistics, and the facts and the statistics say, you know, that quite a few, because I can't recall the specific, but quite a few of them have a parent that's where? In prison. So do you think that might have something to do with why they acting out in school, or they had this bad behavior and they don't want to listen to you, or they don't respect authority or anything because they seen how these adults have treated their parents and the things they say about their parents and whatnot? These children are a product of this society. The small minority out there that's disrespectful, because that's not the majority of black kids. Let's quit lying. We have pockets of poverty where, you know, children are coming up under horrible conditions, and so the parents have came up in the same condition, and you know, then the corporations are pumping in all this negative music, telling them to call themselves niggas and bitches and hoes, and to pop Molly, and to do drugs, and to sell drugs, and to shoot each other. They won't talk about killing cops too much. They did that in the 80s, and you know, but you don't hear too many of them now. At least it's not getting paid on the played on the radio, because then all of America, all the respectability people be like, you can't put that on the radio station. But think about, they ain't protesting when they putting on the radio station about a black person killing another black person. There's no outrage. There's no mass protest against that. The police unions are not saying these radio stations should take off this violent music because they contributing to the dangers of our job. These problems have existed for hundreds of years. They are complex. They have many parts to it. We shouldn't expect people who, majority of them, their brains ain't even fully developed. Scientifically, they say your brain stops growing physically at 26 years old. Now, we know different people have different maturity levels and what have you, so can't judge everybody. But the baseline is 26 years old. The majority of these people are 26 and under out there in the streets, begging you to come up with a solution. And then when they're offering a solution of what they think, oh, it's shot down or what and what have you. Hillary Clinton, when that Black Lives Matter did came to her and said, you know, we got an issue with all this killing and stuff. Well, Hillary Clinton, like, where's your solution? See, because I got to go to these policy. Look, all they need do is point out to you the problem. There's a problem with police killing us. You the policy wonk. You the one got all these years of experiences of, even though she don't, they just padded her resume. This woman is so unqualified. But that's what they tell you. That's how they portray her. She's so smart about everything, but then you gonna put it on some college students? That's the psychology of flipping it, man. The media ran with it, and you ran with it too. She the one who supposed to come up with the solution. Ain't nobody asking these white folks that's demonstrating against the so-called issue of illegal immigration. Nobody going up to them and saying, where are your solution? How do you solve this? They say Donald Trump got the solution, build a wall. It don't matter if the solution is feasible or not, if it's dumb or not. But they pointing to a person who ran telling people that they got the solution. That's why you should elect me president. Ain't that what Barack Obama said? You should have voted for him because he can bring change. He's bringing change, you know, but now he's telling you, oh, after 7.5 years and there has been no change, like it's your fault because you, I can't get allies because y'all being disrespectful in the streets and you saying F the pigs or you saying this or you saying that. And granted, it ain't the majority of the people, but again, their intent is to confuse people. Their intent is not to solve the problem, so they come up with these straw mans. And they point at the people with the least power to bring about that change and put it on them. They're good at their job, people. They've been doing this. All you have to do is study history, the right history. Their history. Not just our history, but their history and their tactics. It's all out. They declassify the stuff. So we will open up the phone lines. When I come back on the other side of this break, I'm going to read to you some of the points brought up in this FBI secret report. It was secret in 2006. I think it's, 2006. And they called it a white nationalist infiltration of law enforcement is a national security threat. So we're going to look at that. And we're going to take a look at this man. I need to pull that up because, you know, I want y'all to know that I do research. I just don't get on here and look what somebody else put on the internet, and I don't look further into it, because they will try you like that. The people will try you like that and claim that, oh, the media is just driving all of this. Well, that's true to a certain extent, but the media is just being forced to air what we are putting out on social media. They're forced to, because they're looking for money. And if it goes viral on the internet, then they know it'll get them a lot of views on TV, because everybody be wanting to see it, and they make money off of it and whatnot. But it's still information. We are the media as well. So it's not us driving resentment by sharing the information in the videos. It's not. But let me find that. I'm going to give this guy's name. Then we're going to go to break. Yeah. What made me look into this is the local, Charlotte Observer had said, published an article that came across my news feed and said that this guy was from North Carolina, and they showed a picture of him with his mother smiling like they showing a picture with. I don't know who this woman is that he's in this photo with, but it could be his daughter, could be his wife, I don't know. But saying that Lauren Ahrens, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, Lauren Ahrens, was reportedly a white supremacist, according to, if you do your detective work, and then, the FBI investigator was looking at his profile and all of that, you would come away with the impression that this guy is a white supremacist. He sympathizes with white supremacist terrorist groups. People calling BLM a terrorist group. Again, that's ridiculous. But are these same people you see on TV who aren't watching their tone and using all kind of inflammatory language like Rudy Giuliani and whatnot? You see them ever refer to these white nationalists or KKK as terrorist organizations and criticizing the government for allowing them to have nonprofit status and raise money and to influence these low information, lowly educated whites like Dylan Roof that live out in these rural areas like where I live. Nobody's calling them terrorists or trying to shut down anything like that. But yeah, you'll talk about the Nation of Islam or talk about some Khalid Mohammed, and these are people who are dead and whatnot. And you call them hate groups and terrorist organizations and whatnot, but you're not going after these terrorists that are within the ranks of the police department. And y'all cops, I don't care if you black, white, or blue, y'all claim y'all blue, so y'all know y'all got these white supremacists within y'all, and y'all scared, and y'all ain't saying nothing. Now, I can understand if you were an individual or whatnot, but if you got other people who believe in justice and we didn't join the police force to terrorize people or be part of a hate group or something. We really joined because we wanted to help people. We believe the propaganda about the saving the puppies and the kittens out of trees and coming in the nick of time to stop the rapists, and even though that rarely happens, they respond to crime. It's very rarely that they stop it. Okay? They will use some twisted up language to make you think they preventing something, and that's why we need policing. No, they playing games. But I don't see anybody within these ranks, outing these white, y'all know these people, white supremacists. Y'all hear them laughing in the corner in the break room or whatnot among themselves and what. Y'all overhear this stuff. You see the signs. You see the tattoos. You see their personal vehicles and what have you. You see their social media profiles and what have. And you don't say nothing. You just go along to get a check. That ain't no good. And again, this I'm not the one that's telling you it's a problem. The federal government said it was a problem. FBI said we got these all these white nationalists infiltrating the law enforcement, as if white supremacists haven't always been part of the police department. So take this station identification break. Again, telephone number 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. Those already dialed in, hit *6 and 1. Or you can call us on the studio line, which is 704-951-5030. That is 704-951-5030. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News on the Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. I'm trying to pull up this PDF file. Having some issues with the computer, kind of trying to drag or whatnot. So you know, because people, you know, you should check their sources. Anything I say to you, don't take it, you know, for granted, you know, as the gospel truth. But I would say, though, but you'll take Don Lemon's word as the gospel truth. You'll take Joy Reid's word as the gospel truth. You'll take whatever your favorite celebrity news commentator on TV, you'll take their word like it's, you know, etched in stone. This is the gospel truth. You can rely on it, and you won't do any other research. But because we are not on mainstream, you know, people want to question us, want to question our sources and what have you. But again, I've said often, everybody should be checking sources as a matter of habit. I implore you. But nobody can ever say that Scotty Reed came on air and put out wrong information, or, you know, didn't share his sources, or didn't correct himself when he got some bad information and came back and acknowledged it. All right, finally, it is starting to open up again. This is a secret document. Waiting on this PDF file reader to act right. This was published on October the 17th, 2006. That's towards the last 2 years of the Bush administration. Okay. I don't recall this ever being brought up in the 2008 campaign by anyone, let alone, you know, Senator Obama. Nobody brought up this report, this national security, this secret document. I don't know when they made it unclassified or what have you, but nobody ran on this in 2008 saying we got to solve this problem of white supremacists infiltrating our police department, and then we want people to respect the police departments and look up to them and what have you, and all of this is going on. And then you got people that work at these places. They know it's white supremacists in there. They know it's racist among them. They know, you know, and you know, again, that's an extreme case of that cop who looked like Walter Scott, who had gotten gunned down by that white supremacist Michael Slager. That's an extreme case of a, you know, so-called person supposed to be on our side, helping a person get away with murdering us, but, you know, they weren't successful in the cover-up of that. So that's an extreme case. But again, I have been in the military. I know what it's like to work in that type of environment. You know the white supremacists among you. Come on. Why don't y'all just admit it and stop giving us these buckets and buckets of words and trying to give all these excuses and what have you? You know these are white supremacist institutions. So it ain't people's fault that's being killed for any of this. And it shouldn't be on them to come up with the solution. Because when you leave it up to angry people to come up with a solution because you won't sincerely fix a problem you know exists, then you get Dallas. That's what you get. It's Dallas. You ignore it. Cover up. Deflect. And then when something happened like this, oh, we, you know, supposed to have sympathy and whatnot. That's like, you know, the old Rolling Stones tune. What was it called? Sympathy for the Devil. Many people who live like I do, who you know, it's not because we have, you know, lots of money or anything, but, you know, if you would think, though, because of where we live, that, okay, these black folks is doing good for themselves or whatnot. Anybody living on this road in this little community, they must be doing pretty good for themselves and whatnot. You know, and we're not being stopped and frisked, and we're not being jacked up and robbed, you know, for our pocket change or what have you. And not, you know, we're just not being gunned down in the streets. So there are some people, man, they don't live under that everyday pressure out there in the poorest of the poor areas. They don't. And I've had, you know, through life experience, the opportunity to experience both of those worlds. So I know why people view cops as the enemy. These people, there has been no progress in policing, unless you want to call black people joining their ranks in unprecedented numbers, being, it ain't led to no dang gone solution. I ain't seen no results to even for anybody to even suggest that as a solution. We can go back to when did they first start letting black people be cops now? Did it have an impact on reducing police terrorism? What do we have to go back to? 1930s? Did it, you know, how many, even though they probably wouldn't keep the statistics. So let's go back to when we have statistics of these sort of interactions with police in our community, the 1960s. As more and more black cops came up in the 80s, in the 90s, were there less police shootings and killings and whatnot? And they'll use crack cocaine that the government, we all know it, just admit it, brought into the community. They'll use that. Oh, that you just don't know the environment and all. Yeah, I do. I was in my 20s during that time period, and it wasn't all like Boys in the Hood or any other television program. It wasn't always like that. You know, but they'll use any excuse to justify the slave catching, the ticket writing, the extortion. So that's not a solution. This is a corrupt institution. Joining it, there's just show me some evidence where there has been some monumental change. And not just an outlier like, you know, one police chief came in and you know, he just cleaned up the whole police force and he got rid of all the races. Oh, yeah, that might be possible, but that's not the norm. You do realize there's thousands of police departments. Let's get to this report. Again, this is unclassified material, so don't come after me. It's marked as unclassified, so, you know, don't come after me, FBI. Because I'm not, you know, name. I'm not a person named Clinton, and I know y'all would try to prosecute me and put me in jail for sharing classified information on air. That's why I don't even talk about stuff I saw or information. I don't share that on air because it's still, this information has not been declassified. I have given hints at y'all don't know the real toll of death during the Gulf War when we was over there, the bomb data assessment reports, but, you know, that's as far as I will go. Because, you know, and again, man, just a double standard. White supremacist infiltration of law enforcement, a 2006, at the time, secret document issued by the FBI. All right. They're using a lot of, I guess, inside labeling or terminology or nomenclatures and whatnot. So these things have some codes that I'm not privy to, but I'm just going to read the sentences. All right. White supremacist infiltration of law enforcement. Let me see the scope note. This intelligence assessment provides an overview of white supremacist infiltration of law enforcement and derives its information from FBI investigations and open sources available as of August of 2006. This assessment, they may have blacked out a lot of stuff. Yup, that's what I'm seeing. Yeah, they have redacted. They redacted this. I'm going to jump down. It goes down to key judgments. Although white supremacist groups have historically engaged in strategic efforts to infiltrate and recruit from law enforcement communities, more redaction. The primary threat from infiltration or recruitment arises from the areas of intelligence collection and exploitation, which can lead to investigative breaches and can jeopardize the safety of law enforcement sources and personnel. White supremacist presence among law enforcement personnel is a concern due to the access they may possess to restricted areas vulnerable to sabotage and to elected officials or protected persons whom they could see as potential targets for violence. The protected persons is code word for black people. That's code word for non-white people, protected, because you're supposed to be protected under the so-called, you know, civil rights amendments and what have you to the Constitution, you know, where they acknowledge that, you know, black people is being targeted. But yeah, that's what protected persons means. So let me read that again. White supremacist presence among law enforcement personnel is a concern due to the access they may possess to restricted areas vulnerable to sabotage and to elected officials or protected persons whom they could see as potential targets for violence. So they are acknowledging that these people will target people just because they're black, because they like killing. They like trophies. Some of those cops in California, for every person they killed, I think there was like special forces or drug enforcement unit or something, they would put the skull, a skull, you know, on their knuckles. Look, nobody got to make up none of this. There are too many media reports in the internet, the worldwide internet. You can dig this up. Ain't nobody making this stuff up. You can't make it up. It goes on to read, the intelligence acquired through the successful infiltration of law enforcement by one white supremacist group can benefit other groups due to the multiple allegiances white supremacists typically hold. So that means they unified in their mission. Let me keep reading. This assessment, introduction, consequences of compromised intelligence. This assessment examines white supremacist infiltration of law enforcement from perspectives of both strategic infiltration by organized groups and self-initiated infiltration by law enforcement personnel sympathetic to white supremacist causes. So they ain't got to be card-carrying members of the KKK. They can be like this guy from North Carolina, one of the ones killed down there in Dallas. They could just be sympathizers. And then they hiding in plain sight. Because I'm sure in close quarters, if in, you know, these police locker rooms and all of that, it's the same as the military, you know, barracks and these shared public areas. I'm sure somebody noticed these white supremacists tattoos and stuff, we certainly knew when I was in the military, we know which ones was the racist among us. Come on, man. Let me tell you, let me go on. Let's see, introduction. This assessment examines white supremacist infiltration of law enforcement from perspectives of both strategic infiltration by organized groups and self-initiated infiltration by law enforcement personnel sympathetic to white supremacist causes. The primary threat from infiltration or recruitment arises from the areas of intelligence collection and exploitation, which can lead to investigative breaches and can jeopardize the safety of law enforcement services or personnel. Meaning, they can sabotage some of these investigations and what have you, cover up when black people get killed. This is what we're talking about. We have all the evidence. The whole thing is about accountability. That's what the whole all these kids is asking for, is accountability. These officers, when they are known to have done something wrong, because it's so plain to see on the video, and then they drag it out for a year or two, people forget about it, and next thing you know, a judge or a jury is exonerating these guys. It boggles the mind. And so you're supposed to keep telling people to respect the process. That tells those people, they say, you know, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expecting the same result. So we want to keep expecting police to investigate themselves. We want to keep expecting a white supremacist justice system to find these white supremacist killers guilty. That's like retarded, man, when we see case after case after case after case, case after case. Even the FBI, when they investigate a case, they got a 95% rate of saying, oh, they didn't violate nobody's civil rights. Only in 5% of the cases. That's white supremacists infiltrated in the FBI, covering for their white supremacist brethren in blue down at the local level. This ain't no damn conspiracy theories. Look, there have been congressional hearings on this type of stuff. There has been declassified information. This information is coming from a FBI document that was unclassified and has been redacted. So you're not even getting all the juicy details. White supremacist presence among law enforcement personnel is also of concern due to the access they may possess to restricted areas of vulnerable to sabotage and to elected officials or protected persons whom they could see as potential targets for violence. Organized intent to infiltrate law enforcement, the apparent sporadic reporting on white supremacist infiltration of law enforcement could be in a redact arrest. But I've already told you, they just ignoring this. This is coming out. There are investigations where some of these dudes, I guess somebody turns them in anonymously. But there's only been a few cases of white supremacists in office or as police officers or what have you that have been busted, have been investigated, indicted. And then, you know, I haven't heard about any convictions yet, but they just simply lose their jobs. White supremacist leaders and groups have historically shown an interest in infiltrating law enforcement communities or recruiting law enforcement personnel. Again, this is history. Robert F. Williams, in his book, Negro with Guns, he talks about, you know, the police giving the KKK non-police officers an escort into the black community for them to fire at our houses. This ain't no ancient history. Most information about systemic attempts by white supremacist group to infiltrate law enforcement involved in a redacted. We need Barack Obama to declassify this. It's been, what, how many years? Going on 10 years almost. We need to have hearings on what else so that the American people can be informed about the terrorist threat that lurks within the law enforcement community that the FBI put together. They just buried this, man. And you won't talk about people being paranoid or, you know, conspiracy theory. This is the FBI. This is self-reporting. Let me see if I can enlarge this text. There's some text in here, like somebody scanned something. Tradecraft is under the title, Tradecraft. Since coming to law enforcement attention in late 2004, the term ghost, I got to increase this some more. Bear with me. All right. Since coming to law enforcement's attention in late 2004, the term ghost skins has gained currency among white supremacists to describe those who avoid overt displays of their beliefs so to blend into society and covertly advance white supremacist causes. One internet posting described this effort as a form of role playing and in which to create the character you must get inside the mind of the person you are trying to duplicate. Such role playing has application to ad hoc and organized law enforcement infiltration. Oh, I just joined because I want to save puppies and kittens, and you know, I just really want to make a difference out there in the world. There's just too much crime, and I want to help the black community solve their crime problem. And yeah, okay. So at least one white supremacist group has reportedly encouraged ghost skins to seek positions in law enforcement for the capability of alerting skinhead crews of pending investigative action against them. Then it jumps to some more code. It says, leaders in the white supremacist movement have advocated confronting suspected infiltrators and to instruct them to provide their FBI handlers with low-level information that will minimally impact the group's activities. Another as-yet undocumented infiltration strategy is for members to walk in to law enforcement agencies and offer information to determine an agency's interest in the organization. All right. That comes from a website titled they give a website. I don't know what that came from. NukeIsrael.com. All right. So this is very valuable information that the FBI did not share, or it didn't get shared widely with the public. But then we got one of them Dallas cops, according to, you know, this college professor, he had white supremacist tattoos. The one of them that got killed, the one from North Carolina, which North Carolina at one time boasted the highest due paying members of the Ku Klux Klan in the history of their history. So I wasn't surprised when I heard he was from North Carolina. But let me see if there's anything else in this PDF file. Let me keep going down, because they have redacted a whole lot of it. So this kind of stuff that's going on behind the scenes, man, that a lot of people ain't aware of, and then we don't have this information, and then we don't even figure it into the conversation on so-called, you know, coming up with a solution. Well, you got to have all the information. You got to address every issue. And this is an issue that is not being addressed. So as they gun down black people unmercifully, you blame them for a Sergeant Johnson doing what he did and taking out five Dallas police officers. And then, mighty interestingly, one of them, there's strong indication that he is exactly what the FBI was warning about in this classified document. Let me see. This the last section. Let me see. White supremacist sympathizers. The Ku Klux Klan, KKK, is notable among white supremacist groups for historically having found support in many communities, which often translated into ties to local law enforcement. Again, read Robert F. Williams' book, Negroes with Guns, where he describes such a relationship between the KKK and law enforcement. Although the First Amendment's freedom of association provision protects an individual's right to join white supremacist groups for a purpose of lawful activity, the government can limit the employment opportunities of group members who hold sensitive public sector jobs, including jobs within law enforcement, when their memberships will interfere with their duties. Recent examples of law enforcement personnel who activities in support of white supremacist belief have come under scrutiny include, and they redacted it. See there? These could be some of these punks on TV that we hear issuing threats to black people. And nobody telling that proxy racist tool up there in Wisconsin, David A. Clark, Sheriff David A. Clark, that man has been threatening black people for at least 2 years now, telling them scum and should be wiped off the face of the earth. They ain't heard nobody, not the CEO of USA Inc., tell these people in law enforcement to tone down their language and be respectful. No. Rudy Giuliani, all these people, they'll bring on just any kind of any person in law enforcement willing to blow them racist dog whistles. They'll have them on Fox News and even CNN. And these could be some of these people named in this FBI report. But ain't nobody, when have y'all heard of any investigation or indictments of these people? We're talking about major figures now that they are talking about. I ain't heard President Obama bring up none of this stuff. It wasn't included in that police commission he set up for 21st century policing. It wasn't among their recommendations. And then again, what about self-policing? Why are so-called good cops tolerating the presence of white supremacists? These kids got more, that's out here in the street, got more courage than y'all do. I only see 1, 2, 3, maybe 10 speak out over the years, and they tell us how they're being ostracized, and so, you know, say that mess about joining your gang. I'm not trying to join your gang. I'm not trying to join the slave patrols. I'm not trying to join your hate group. That ain't a solution to the problem. The solution would be to clear all the white supremacists, all the criminals, the rapists, the human traffickers. We see these news media reports come out every day. Watch a cop, cop block. I follow this one site that does, like, you know, corrupt cop roundup, a weekly report linked to mainstream media reports. But it's not making CNN. It's not being blasted on CNN it's all day long, showing their mug shots to the ones that do get busted and arrested. No, no, no. They are just so outstanding. They just want to help and puppies and kittens and saving them and all of that. It ain't on the victims of police brutality. You join the police officer, you join the force to be good for the community. Don't that include standing up to the corrupt elements in your, and then we want to talk about, oh, they got rights. They got rights. See, they got powerful police unions and they got rights. And as I was even reading the FBI report, it was saying that we can't always bar them. They have constitutional rights to practice white supremacy. They can join these groups and demonstrate and go out there with the Confederate flag and do all this stuff. The Constitution allows them freedom of association. We hear all these doggone excuses. And we see then that the system is utterly corrupt. That any system that says racist hate, the expression of racist hate, and we can't bar racists from these positions, that's a system based on racism and white supremacy. These are my thoughts today. I don't mean to be rambling, but you know, I'm just tired of the dishonest discourse that I'm hearing and I'm seeing from so-called, you know, people who supposed to have a solution in hand, man. But instead, what we're getting is a lot of blaming of black people and usage of black stereotypes. Mr. Castile wasn't no stereotype. Wasn't yelling at nobody, wasn't screaming at the cop. He informed him, I have a concealed carry permit and I'm carrying like you're supposed to. I've seen, you know, classes on YouTube where that's what they, you know, tell the cop, tell their, you know, people who take the class to do, inform them. I actually seen it. I was in a Charlotte transit center. This was back when I was in college. I was in there, and this white man came in with a gun on his hip, in a holster, with his family, right? So he coming in there to, you know, the little eatery and whatnot at this transit center, and a cop went up to him and asked him if he had a concealed and carry permit. The guy said, yeah. The white man pulled out his wallet, his card. He hands it to the cop. The cop looks at his information. He hands it back to him, and he went about his way. The cop went about their way. Mr. Gadara's no excuse for what happened to Mr. Castile. That was straight up murder. I don't want to hear no excuse about no training tactics was poor and all of that. No, man, come on. You justifying. You're justifying. You're making excuses. This happens too often. Too many good people, too many taxpayers, too many outstanding citizens, too many assets to the community. They ain't all these so-called stereotypical thugs and whatnot that's being killed. These are black men, women, and children from all walks of life. And I don't mean to leave out anybody else that's not black, because the media insults you and they don't show you these videos of white people being gunned down like that, because they don't want y'all out there in the streets, because then it might be 500,000 people in the streets then, or 1 million or 2 million. The system know exactly what it's doing. This is controlled chaos. And they know who not to rile up, man. So perhaps that's why they ain't trying to clear them out of the law enforcement agency. So then what are black people and targets of these people left to do? We can't depend on the U.S. government. So what are we to do? Well, Malcolm X said, any and everything, in so many words, whatever is necessary. These are real problems. These are real lives that's being lost. And, you know, we need real solutions. We don't need Band-Aids. We don't need none of that. And let's not, you know, just jump on some person, because they don't buy into the ideal of joining the slave patrols. See, maybe they don't have the same perception that you have of cops. And, you know, most of us, we grow up and we're taught as little children that the police are our friends, unless we was like in the black community that was being preyed upon. And, you know, look, let's not act like black folks just started having a talk with their sons and daughters. So again, it's been going on for decades, man. This is an institutional problem. So black people, y'all do whatever y'all have to do to protect yourself. Be very paranoid, because their own secret reports that they looking at and the media's not reporting to you when they do declassify it is that they know they got a problem. That was in 2006, man. Just think how many white supremacist cells we got in police departments all across the country. And again, I knew who the white supremacist was when I was in the Army. And if a situation arise where we had to handle them and deal with them, we dealt with them. We didn't just ignore them. We didn't sit by and let them disrespect us or talk bad about black people or act a fool, because you know people get drunk, man. You know, lots of alcohol in the military, man. You know, we drinking and whatnot, and people tend to show themselves. And you know, them white boys know you come out your mouth the wrong way, boy, you about to, you know, get into star something. There's gonna be some fights going on. Again, these are people in the military. We're training, you know, to eliminate threats and whatnot. So I know it's going on in the police department. Same thing. Y'all know, y'all black cops, y'all non-white cops, and y'all white cops that claim you're not racist, y'all know who the racist is among y'all. Y'all know the racist that's been in the chain of command, and you know, you just don't want to confront it. So just say that. Just say, you know, that we're afraid, instead of blaming black people out in the street for complaining. That's what they're supposed to do. That's what the Constitution says. I don't get the criticism of people complaining about the activities of their government. That's written in every state constitution and the federal constitution as a right. A right to protest, to file your grievances with the government. It don't say you have to be registered to vote. It don't say you have to be taxpayer. It don't say no qualifiers. The only qualifier is you be a citizen of the United States of America, and you have this right that people have engaged in for hundreds of years. Even white people, when they were being felt they were being overtaxed and stuff in the early days, they would rebel, man, en masse. They would demonstrate. They would protest. They would have riots and all this and that. Why are y'all acting like black folks today is doing anything any different? How is what Black Lives Matter doing, or the young people out there in the streets, any different than the protest that's going on in Europe right now against their government and whatnot? Let's not minimize protests. I do believe it should be used in a strategic manner and whatnot. And people do need an outlet, and people do need human contact to go out in the streets and congregate with people and know that, hey, I'm not the only one who sees a problem here, or hey, I'm not the only one that's hurting. Let me comfort my brother. Let me comfort my sister. So this ain't all about a solution sometimes. Sometimes it's all about comfort from a traumatic event. These are like emotional outbursts. These are the canaries in the coal mine. It ain't my daughter's responsibility to solve this problem. It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility. It's people with all the resources, the ones that have been elected. And President Obama saying, you know, when these shootings happen, we may lose some allies in police reforms. Well, see, that's a red herring right there. This was a lone actor. He said, he made sure, he told the police, if we believe the police, I didn't do this with anyone. No one else was involved. I don't belong to any organization and whatnot. So then how the hell is Obama then going to come out and say, oh, this derails the legislative process because we had one lone person go kill some damn slave catchers, and so now we ain't going to reform nothing and all that. See, that's not right. That's a straw man argument. How you going to hold BLM or anybody else that's fighting to push through so-called reform or whatnot? You're going to say, oh, see, now I can't do it because we don't control them individuals. You don't say that when a quote-unquote Islamic and lone wolf gunman does something. You don't say we can't, you know. You don't use similar language. You start talking about bombing, and you talk about droning people and more security and screening. You know, you take a proactive approach. But when it comes to addressing police terrorism in this country, everybody want to be passive. They want to take a passive approach. We got to lay out a 10-year damn plan. Give me a break. Ain't nobody waiting no 10 years. keep suffering under oppression. Damn, ain't we suffered enough? I will be VGQ. I ain't criticizing any response to racism and white supremacy. That's a symptom of the problem that they know exists that they ain't trying to solve. So, you know, where is Hillary Clinton's plan since she was asked that question to end this? Oh, what did her dumb ass say? Oh, you, there's something different. Something different about this. It's just something different. This woman is an idiot, man. Y'all don't really, y'all let the media snow job y'all and her memorizing talking points. That's what they mean, staying on message and stuff. And then we want to criticize people who don't read from a script and all that. Oh, that's not professional. You're not reading from a script. You're not supposed to talk from the heart. You're not supposed to, you know, talk to us like in a normal conversation. Everything got to be scripted. Got to hit these talking points. Got to keep reinforcing this propaganda. That's all we get from her. When she was asked about how she saw the problem, oh, something different. Tell you what's not different, and that's, you know, the people who creating the problem, keep, you know, who are part of the problem, ascending in power in this country. There's not going to be any solution if we don't have an honest dialogue and we don't, you know, consider all things. If you're a black person and you conflicted because you worked in law enforcement and what have you, then you need to seek psychological help, man. You really do. You need to get some help. You shouldn't be conflicted about being a black person and having worked in law enforcement. Why would that cause conflict unless you got training unconsciously seeped into you that is anti-black? You know they're diametrically opposed to each other because of the long history. We don't want to acknowledge that things have changed, things have improved so much, but that ain't what the data say. That ain't what the news reports say. I don't see any of these people going on strike, man. Going on strike. You know, you want to talk about sending a message and solving a problem. How about if the rank and file police officer, you know, beat cop or whatnot? What if they just said, you know what? I'm just going to take off this uniform, you know, for a week, and I'm just going to protest with the people. I'm part of you. I'm part of the community. I'm with you. Makes no sense that these officers, other officers within our ranks, keep getting away with murder. They're ignoring the white supremacy, you know, these infiltrators in here and what have you, and they laugh and they joke, and when one of us speaks out, they target us, they bully us, they call us rats, they try to get us killed. And that would be more powerful message. If you want the police, if you want to gain the trust of the community, do to something like that. But when we see when NBA players, the WNBA, Minnesota Lynx or Milwaukee Lynx, whatever the name of the WNBA professional basketball ladies team is, but they came out with some shirts, you know, with the victims' names on it and with Black Lives Matter on it. This is something they did as a team. They was all in. All the people on the team was all in. And then they had in big white letters accountability. They had on black shirts, but in big white letters they had accountability, meaning holding these cops accountable, holding that cop accountable for killing Mr. Castile, murdering him like that. And then the cops in the basketball arena gonna walk off the job. They walked off the post. They abandoned their post. In the military, that would be known as abandoning your post, because they didn't like these women expressing solidarity with their fans, with their community. Now, you think about that. These are unstable people. Now, you want to talk about God and country and the red, white, and blue, and they serving us and protecting us, but they ain't even respecting your First Amendment right. Look. You hear these hypocrites all the time be talking about, I served in the military and I fought for your right. I don't have to agree with what you say, these demonstrations out here, but I fought for your right to say it. But then these NBA players put on a t-shirt. And that is an organizational motto for that organization, the Lynx, accountability. The players being accountable to each other, being accountable to the coaches, the management being accountable to the players, being accountable to the coaching. Everybody's all in. Everybody's accountable. No excuses. And so they put accountability, which has always been a theme that they have run as an organization, and they apply it to a citizen who was stopped in a traffic stop, informed the officer that he had a gun, and I'm licensed, and I have a concealed carry permit, and now he's dead. His fiance say the cops asked him to get his wallet. He went in his pocket, bam, 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 shot him 4 times in the chest. Now he's dead. And these petulant police officers like little angry children, because these players express that sentiment, they gonna walk off their posts. They gonna walk off the job. And calling in that disrespectful and whatnot, and like, you know, everybody got to worship them. They can do no damn wrong. See what I'm saying, man? These are unstable, egomaniacal people who do not or should not have the power that they have over our lives. They didn't volunteer to go do security at this event, this sporting event. No, they got paid to do it. So you don't get to say nothing about what anybody else say. Just do your damn job and scan the crowd for security threats. And if there's any fights, break them up. And that's all you're supposed to do. You ain't supposed to be worried about what people saying. You ain't supposed to be worried about what's on the NBA player's t-shirt. You ain't supposed to be worried about that. You're supposed to be doing your damn job. And you like a petulant little child, you're going to walk off the damn job. And you want us to respect this institution, to respect these people. You're not thinking logically. You're just not thinking logically. Do I respect the individual police officers that I come across in the street, although I have very minimum interaction with them? I mean, I even avoid going through main roads that are highly traveled. If I need to go to Charlotte, I'm taking the back road. Why? Because I don't want to be caught in no speed trap. Less cars on the road. I'm coming in through the back door to Charlotte, you know. That's to minimize my contact with police. Not because I have anything to hide. Not because, you know, I got a license. My car has insurance. Or any car that I'm driving at this house has insurance. We're totally legal. I don't have nothing to hide. I don't want to come across you. I don't want any interaction with you. Minimize contact. Because there's just too many people who are not coming out alive on the other side of these interactions. So that's why I try to teach my daughters, man. It don't matter if you legit, if you legal, or what, minimize contact. As taxpaying citizens, we shouldn't have to do that, should we? We shouldn't even have, that's the shame of it. We shouldn't even have to be having this talk. But the threat is real and it's out there. So, I mean, damn, we prisoners in our quote-unquote own country, but really, it's not. It's a concentration camp, and they're forcing us to pay for it. So, you know, those cops that's in there and y'all see what's wrong or whatnot, you know, hell, start recruiting, you know, starting some kind of clique in there that where you have one or two other cops that are black back your play for justice. Start with secretly recording these guys. Start gathering evidence. Start making copies of internal documents and leaking them. Take the risk like Bradley Manning took, now known as Chelsea Manning, who tried to kill himself or herself after, I believe, they got the word that Hillary Clinton was not going to be prosecuted for mishandling gross negligence involving security, highly sensitive documents, and they put this person in prison who was trying to expose the world, the barbaric killings that's going on in Iraq. Y'all do know that's why they're in prison, right? All these leakers, military leakers, CIA people, they tried to tell about the torture and whatnot. They in prison. Not the ones that they told was doing so. I know the risk involved. So maybe that's why y'all don't do it. So if that's why y'all don't do it, then don't be trying to say nothing about what anybody else is doing, trying to address the problem, because you ain't really addressing the problem from within. You just existing. You're just trying to make it home through the day, not get killed, make it home to your family, have a middle class life and what have you. So you know, but you don't, we have to be honest. You have to be honest then. And just keep your damn mouth shut and don't say nothing, because you ain't saying nothing about them white supremacists. So anyway, that's the end of the program. Tando Radio Show is coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. I got to get some work done for him on the production end, so I need to go ahead and end the program. I will be back on air on Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you check me out, though, along with the other co-hosts and co-producers of New Abolitionist Radio, which has been on this station for 3 years, talking about factual information pulled from government's own reports and from the media reports. We're talking about 21st century slavery and human trafficking, and don't none of it get done without cops. So excuse me if I don't want to join that institution. Peace and blessings to all. Y'all be safe.